Last summer, during my sabbatical time, Lee and I were in the UK and Ireland. And midway through the trip, we took a ferry from Wales to Dublin and rented a car, which got about 10 miles down the road and died. We spent hours waiting for a tow truck and then going to the airport and then renting another car. We arrived very late that night in Kilkenny and got to take out Japanese food from the last restaurant open in the neighborhood of the hotel. I was feeling very frustrated as we drove out of Dublin that afternoon. We'd wasted a whole afternoon of our trip and our chance to see Kilkenny. We raced through the Irish countryside on the wrong side of the road, and our phones didn't work, so we couldn't contact the inn, so we didn't know what was going to happen. And as we drove, a gentle rain began to fall because Ireland, and there were rainbows. And it was like God tapped me on the shoulder. Pay attention. You are racing down the road in Ireland, and I am here, and all is well. Something in me just let go and relaxed, and I chuckled a little at myself and my attitude, confident that our adventure would continue just as it should, and indeed it did. Just last week, I was taking a walk outside. Again, a frustrating afternoon, arguing with my family, anxious about life. And as I walked, and I was kind of marching my frustration on this walk, I looked up, and there in the sky, I saw gorgeous colors shining in the clouds, a fire rainbow, or a sun dog, as people call them. And again, I was reminded of God's promises of love and compassion. My frustrated march became a delighted walk in the chill afternoon air, conscious of God's presence beside me. In the story of the flood, the rainbow carries a very specific promise. But for me, the rainbow has reminded me again and again throughout my life of all God's promises of compassion and loving care for all God has made, of God's very presence with us in the world. Rainbows are just one of the things that draw me back to God. Yellow leaves in the bosque in fall, the mountains glowing in the evening sun, rare snow in my backyard, kind words from a stranger on a hard day, or a thank you note from one of you. In all of these, I can feel the Holy Spirit breaking into my days, calling my attention to God's compassionate presence. Today's gospel reading begins with Elizabeth giving birth, but the story begins well before this. I think we sometimes forget that the Gospel of Luke begins with two angelic visitations, two miraculous births, and three musical numbers with characters breaking into song in praise of God. Before the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, he appeared to the priest Zechariah while he was serving in the temple. The angel announced that the elderly Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, who had been childless, would have a baby and name him John. Have you heard a story like this before? When Zechariah questioned the angel, Gabriel responded by taking his voice away. The story moves to Mary, who is visited by Gabriel, becomes pregnant, and goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And that is when Mary sings her song, and we'll come back to that song in a few weeks. But our reading today picks up with the birth of John and the circumcision ceremony in the temple on the eighth day. Suddenly, Zechariah begins not just to speak, but to sing one of the most beautiful psalms in the Bible, which celebrates the fulfillment of God's promises to God's people. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Beautiful. Luke is also clear throughout all of this story arc that the Holy Spirit is at work here, breaking into mundane history with something extraordinary. And it is happening not because of God's judgment on the world, but because of God's tender mercy and love for the world. I served for a number of years in an Episcopal church, and the Episcopal liturgy in the Book of Common Prayer begins with the words, "Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever." And I've often wondered about that. What does it mean for us to speak blessing to God? God, who is the source of all things and all goodness, right? How do we say, blessed be God? And so I found a commentary this week that talked about this idea of blessing. Now, first she said, we offer praise and thanksgiving to God for what God has done to us. But then this scholar, Carla Somala, writes, blessing is more flexible. People can bless one another, God can bless people or things, and people can bless God. Blessing often takes place before something happens or comes into being, like the blessing to be fruitful and multiply. More than a wish or an expression of hope, the language of blessing is grounded in certainty. When God blesses humans, God is making a promise, a statement of assurance that what God has said, God will do. Whether it's rain, a good harvest, or many children, God first blesses and then brings the blessings to fruition. When humans bless God, they are also making a statement, but ours is one of confidence, conviction, and even a recognition that God acts or is about to act. Zechariah doesn't just hope that God will bring the salvation of God's people. He knows that salvation is upon him, even though John is still an infant and we're still waiting on Jesus. Zechariah knows that even though the time between blessing and fulfillment can be long and difficult, God ultimately keeps God's word. Zechariah knows that his newborn son will soon play a role in bringing God's blessing into the world. Zechariah blesses the Lord in his old age because he knows that by the tender mercy of God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What does it mean to us in this weary, anxious world to speak those words? We speak such words in hope, in certain hope, or in quavering, shuddering hope of God fulfilling all God's promises. We speak those words because we have experienced the faithfulness of God and trust that despite all we see and know and experience, God is still faithful. God's Spirit is active in the world, working for wholeness and healing and salvation. Perhaps to speak such words of blessing means that we are opening ourselves to see and experience moments of hope and promise, like rainbows and sun dogs on ordinary days, like smiles from strangers and hugs from friends, like music that lifts our spirits, or a blessed silence that holds us in peace. We know our grief is real and our anxiety has risen. But we know just as surely that God's Holy Spirit continues to break into the world with holiness and beauty. We can choose to say, blessed be God here in the world, to open our eyes and see the way God shows up with compassion and grace with us and around us. Kate Bowler is known for writing blessings, and we are using her materials and blessings through this Advent season. She writes blessings which speak realistically and boldly about our current lives and times, and lift up confidence and hope in God's presence and comfort. I want to close today with her blessing for this second Sunday of Advent, a blessing for open arms. Blessed are you, with open arms to welcome God this Advent, willing to invite its promises into the center of your longing. Blessed are you even now in the waiting, open to receiving what is beautiful though clothed in such precarity. Blessed are you agreeing to stand still long enough to let your eyes adjust to the darkness until the starlight begins to appear, the dawning of God's promises. In that gentle light, find a corner of your heart where hope can stay protected, a place from which we can nurture a little gratitude, a little compassion, enough to go around. Some for God, and some for yourself, and some for the next unsuspecting soul that wanders into your light. Amen.